Hi, this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inner Arbor Solutions, and you're listening to Briefings Direct. Today we present a sponsored podcast discussion on the future of business intelligence, on bringing more information from more sources into an analytics process, and thereby getting more actionable intelligence out. The explosion of information from across the web, from mobile devices, inside of social networks, and from the extended business processes organizations are now employing all provide an opportunity, but they also provide a challenge. This information can play a critical role in allowing organizations to gather and refine analytics into new market strategies, better buying decisions, and to be the first into new business development opportunities. The challenge is in getting at these web data services and bringing them into play with existing BI tools and traditional data sets. This is the first in a series of podcasts looking at the future of business intelligence and how web data services can be brought to bear on better business outcomes. So what are web data services and how can they be acquired? Furthermore, what is the future of business intelligence when these extended data sources are made into strong components of the forecasts and analytics that enterprises need to survive the recession and also to then best exploit the growth that follows? Here to help us explain the benefits of web data services and business intelligence, please join me in welcoming Howard Dresner, President and Founder of Dresner Advisory Services. Welcome to the show, Howard.
Thanks, Dana. It's great to be here today.
We're also joined by Ron Yu, Vice President of Marketing at Kapow Technologies. Thanks for joining, Ron.
Hi, Dana. Great to be with you today.
Howard, let me start with you. We've certainly heard a lot about business intelligence over the past several years, a very strong trend, lots of investment being made. How does this, in fact, help companies during a downturn that we are unfortunately still in, and then prepare for an upside?
Business intelligence is really about empowering end users with insight, the ability to develop perspective, as well as their respective organizations. And in a downturn, what better time to have some understanding of some of the forces that are driving the business? Of course, it's always useful to have the benefit of insight and perspective, even in good times, but it tends to go from being more outward-focused during good times, focused on markets and acquiring customers and so forth, to being more introspective or internally focused during bad times, understanding efficiencies and how one can be more productive. So business intelligence always has merit. And I would say in a downturn, it's even more relevant because we are really less tolerant of being able to make mistakes. We have to execute with even greater precision, and that's really what business intelligence helps us do.
Well, if we're looking either internally at our situation or externally at our opportunities, the more information we have at our disposal, then the perhaps stronger our analytical return.
Well, certainly, one would hope so. You know, if you're trying to develop perspective, bringing as much relevant data or information to bear is a valuable thing to do. And I think a lot of organizations focus just on lots of information. I think that you need to focus on the right information to help the organization and those individuals actually carry out the mission of that organization.
And that crucial definition of the right information, that has perhaps changed, or is that an ongoing moving target? How do you keep track of what's the right stuff?
Well, it is a moving target because the world continues to evolve. There are lots of information sources. Now, I first started covering this beat 20 years ago. The available information was largely just internal stores, you know, corporate stores or databases of information. And now a lot of the information that ought to be used, and in many cases is being used, is not just internal information, but is external as well. So there are syndicated sources, but also there's the entire World Wide Web, where we can learn about our customers, we can learn about our competitors, as well as a whole host of sources that ought to be considered if we want to be effective in pursuing new markets or even serving our existing customers.
Yeah, Ron, we've certainly seen an increase in business processes that are now developed from components beyond just a packaged application set. We've certainly seen a mixture of web and mobile and other endpoints being brought to bear for how people interact with their businesses and these processes. Give me a sense, if you will, on what's the extended scope now of BI, and how do we get at what is now part and parcel with the extended enterprises?
Yes, I fully agree with Howard, and it's all about the right data. Given the current global and market conditions, enterprises have cut really deep from the line of business, but also into their IT organizations. However, they're still challenged with ways to drive more efficiencies while also trying to innovate. So the challenges that are being presented are monumental, where traditional BI methods and tools are really providing powerful analytical capabilities, but at the same time, they're increasingly constrained by limited access to not only relevant data, but how do you get timely access to data? And so what we see is pockets of departmental use cases where marketing departments and product managers are starting to look outside in public data sources to bring in valuable information so they can find out how the products and services are doing in the market.
You know, Howard, we began this discussion with the lofty goal of the defining the future of BI. I wonder if you think that the innovation to come from business intelligence activities is a function of the analytics engine, the tools, or is it a function of getting at more but the relevant information and bringing that to bear?
Well, it's an interesting question that you ask, and one of the things in my second book, which is about to be published next month, that I focus upon is performance-directed culture. And the underpinning or the substrate of a performance-directed culture, which I won't go into great detail right now, has to do with common trust in the information and the availability and currency of the information as a way to help the organization align with the mission. So I think the future of business intelligence is not just about the tools and technology. I mean, it's great to have tools and technology, and I certainly am a fan of technology, being, you know, somewhat of a gadget fiend, but that's not going to solve the organization's problems, and it's not going to help them align with the mission. What is going to help them align with the mission is making sure that they have timely, relevant, and complete information, as well as the proper culture to help them support the mission of the enterprise. So having all the gadgetry is great, certainly. Making the tools more intuitive is certainly a useful and worthwhile thing to do, but it's only as good as the underlying content and insight that is there to support those end users. So the future is about focusing in on the information and those insights that can empower the individuals, their respective departments, and the enterprise to stay aligned with the mission of that organization.
Now, the trend upside and interest in BI is not isolated. There are other complementary or at least coincidental mega trends afoot. One of them, from my perspective, is this whole notion of community rather than just company or individual or monolithic thinking. So we're expanding into ecosystems, cloud computing becoming a popular notion nowadays. People are thinking about how to cross organizational boundaries, how to access resources perhaps faster, better, cheaper from across organizational boundaries. But this also brings in this opportunity to start melding, mashing up, comparing and contrasting data sets across these organizational boundaries. Is there a mega trend from your perspective, Howard, that we need to start thinking about BI as a data set join function?
Well, the way I look at it, and I sort of fall back on Tom Malone's work and The Future of Work, which is the title of his book from 2004, where he talks about organizations, because of the reduced cost of communications, the fact that organizations will start to move and are moving towards looser bonds, democratized structures, even market-based structures. And he cites a number of examples in his book. And the way that you hold an organization together like that, this sort of loosely bound organization together, is through the notion of business intelligence and performance management, which means, yes, we certainly have to compare, I would say data per se, but certainly various measures. We have to share data, we have to combine combine data and exchange data to get the job done, whatever that job is. And as need be, we can break those bonds and form new bonds to get the job done. Now, this doesn't mean that the future of business is a bunch of small micro-organizations coming together. It really applies to any organization that wants to be agile and entrepreneurial in nature. So the, you know, the underlying foundation of that has to be data and business intelligence in order to function.
Right, so it's about how these organizations relate to one another. Ron, what are some of the essential problems that need to be solved from your perspective on allowing companies to better understand themselves and then to have this permeability at a process level, at a content, data, and BI level with other players?
The term I like to use is really about inclusive BI. Inclusive BI essentially includes new and external data sources for departmental applications, but that's only the beginning. I think inclusive BI is a completely new mindset. For every application that IT or line of business develops, it just creates yet another data silo, another information silo, yet another place that information is disconnected from others. Critical decision making really requires, as Howard was saying earlier, that all business information is easily leveraged whenever it's needed. But today, each application is separate and not joined. So this makes the line of business and decision making just very difficult, and it's just not real time. And so as this dynamic business environment continues to grow, it's just completely infeasible for IT to update their existing data warehouses or to build a new data mart. That just can't be the solution. So there has to be an easier way to access and extract data exactly where it resides without having to move data back and forth from databases and data marts and data warehouses, which effectively become snapshots. So when line of business is working with these data snapshots, by definition, it's out of date. Catalytic CIOs and forward-looking information architects understand this dilemma. Given that most enterprises are already web-enabled, then they're turning to web data service to build bridges across all these data silos.
Right. So another trend, we mentioned the whole permeability of the organization trend, is also, of course, this involvement, people being participants in these social networks, having a great deal of publishing going on, putting content out there that basically can be very valuable to a company. They want to, you know, end users seem to want to tell companies what they want if the companies are willing to listen. We have this opportunity now to create dialogue and conversation rather than simply looking at the sales receipts. Tell me a little bit about how this whole social phenomena, the community and the sharing, fits into what you term web data services.
Yes, there's effectively a new class of BI applications, as we've been discussing, that depend on a completely different set of data sources. You know, web data services is effectively just about this agile access and delivery of the right data at the right time. With different business pressures that are surfacing every day, this leads to just continuous need for more and more data sources. But as Howard was talking about earlier, how do you handle all of that? So web data services provides immediate access to the delivery of this critical data into the business user's BI environment so that the right timely decisions can be made. So it effectively takes these dashboards, reporting, and analytics to the next level for critical decision making. When we look deeper into this and how does this actually play out, it's all about early and precise predictions. So let's just talk about a few examples. You know, government agencies are using web data services to combat terrorism. So you can be certain that they have all the state-of-the-art analysis tools, visualization, geospatial mapping, etc. And web data services effectively turbocharges these analyst tools and giving them the highest precision in their threats and analysis. So these intelligence agencies have access to open source intelligence, social networks, blogs, forums, and even Twitter feeds, and can see exactly what's happening in real time. So they can do this predictive analysis and are much better positioned than ever to avert horrible acts of terrorism like 9/11.
Hey, Howard, I wonder what you think is holding organizations back from bringing more of this variety, this wider scope of information to bear on analytics. Do you think that, to Ron's point, we need to sidestep IT and the traditional purveyors of BI? Is this something that can be done by end users themselves?
Well, also a very interesting question, and a provocative one, too, I might add. But sidestep IT, not all IT organizations are inflexible. Some of them certainly are. One of the things that I've advocated for years is the notion of competency centers, certainly in larger organizations. And the idea of a competency center is to get the skills in a place where they can do the most good and where they can really focus on being expedient. Delivering something to the end user a year after they ask for it really isn't terribly useful. So you need to be as agile as possible to respond to ever-changing business needs. There are very few businesses out there that are static, where things aren't moving very quickly. In most organizations, in most markets, things move pretty darn quick, and you have to be able to respond to them. And if you don't respond to the users quickly, why, they find a way to solve their problems themselves. And that really has become an issue in many organizations. I'd like to say that it's a minority, but it's not. It's a majority of them, where IT is going down a slightly different path, well, sometimes a dramatically different path than the end users. But surprisingly, there are some IT organizations that are pretty well aligned, and they are responsive. So it's not a situation where the end users need to completely discount IT. I will say that some IT organizations have become pretty inflexible. They're very focused sort of myopically on just some internal sources and are not being responsive to the end users. So I think you need to be careful not to suffer from what I call BI myopia, where we're focused just on our internal corporate systems or our financial systems. We do need to be responsive. We need to be inclusive of information that can respond to the user's needs as quickly as possible. And sometimes a competency center is the right approach. Certainly I've seen instances where the users do wrest control. And in my latest book, I have four very interesting case studies. Some are focused on organizations where it was more IT-driven. In other instances, it was business operations or finance-driven.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is certainly, in most cases, a middle ground. IT certainly isn't looking for more things to do. So to the extent that they can find new tools like web data services to help them be more effective and more efficient, I think they're totally open to giving line of business, to the extent possible, self-service capabilities.
All right, Ron. So, well, whether it's the IT department and a fully sanctioned tool and approach that they're supporting, or whether it's self-service, we can't just open up the fire hose and have all of this content dump into our business and analytics activities. So what do you bring to the table in terms of not only getting access to web data services, but cleansing them, vetting them, putting them in the right format, making sure it's secure and the privacy issues are being adhered to? What's the value add to go beyond access and into a qualitative set of highly valued assets?
Yeah, I think sometimes the problem we face is when we talk about BI, we immediately start talking about the software and the servers and the things that we need to build. And BI really starts with the business use case. What is it that the line of business is trying to do? If we can develop the right facilities in order to work on that project basis, yet those projects don't become so overbearing that it just creates IT project gridlock, then I think we have something new to say. For example, in leading financial services companies, what they're looking for is on this theme again of early and precise predictions, is how can you leverage information sources that are publicly available, like weather information, to be able to assess the precipitation and rainfall and even the water levels of lakes that directly contribute to hydroelectricity. And if we can gather all that information and develop a BI system that can aggregate all this information and provide the analytical capabilities, then you can make very important decisions about trading information on energies, commodities, and investment decisions. So Web Data Services effectively automates this access and extraction of the data and metadata and things of those nature, so that IT doesn't have to go and build yet a brand new separate BI system every time line of business comes up with a new business scenario.
Again, to this notion of the fire hose, you're not just opening up the spigot, you're actually adding some value in helping people manage and control this flow, right?
Exactly. It's about the preciseness of the data source that the line of business already understands that they want to access it, because they're working with that data, they're viewing that data, they're seeing it through their own applications every single day. But that data is buried deep within the application in the database, and the only way that they can do it through the traditional ways is through opening up a new IT ticket and asking their database or their data warehouse or their application to be updated. And that just is very time-consuming and very expensive for everyone involved.
Yeah, and to your point earlier, you end up getting a significant latency, and it's probably precisely the kind of web services data that you want to get closer to real time in order to analyze what's going on.
That's exactly the case. I mean, in case of, you know, a voice of the customer, it provides huge financial and exposure protection for product vendors. For example, if a tire manufacturer had the ability to monitor consumer sentiment, they'd be able to investigate and even issue early recalls well before tragic events happen, which would create even larger financial losses and huge damage on the brand.
Mm. All right, well, help me, Ron, understand a little bit better what Kapow Technologies brings in terms of this web data services support. How does that then also relate to a larger BI solution that incorporates web data services?
Yeah, I guess we're getting a little bit into the technical side of things now. But effectively, Kapow Web Data Server, which is our product, is a platform that provides IT and some line of business users who actually have more of a technical aptitude the ability to visually interact with the data sources through the web HTML and Ajax front end of an application or a web page or a web portal. And effectively what you do is you visually program, you give instructions through point and click, and which gives you precise navigation through all of the forms and as deep as you want to go into that website or web application. And you, as you programmatically point and click, you can give instructions about extracting the data and even enriching the data. For example, going to LinkedIn, you see that there are certain images that are assigned to specific data. And so with our product, you can actually interpret those graphical images and actually give it a value. What our product effectively does is gives you that precise surgical navigation and extraction of any data from exactly the application that you're working with to create either an RSS feed, a REST service, or in the case of traditional BI, even loading it directly into a SQL database with a one-button deployment. There's no programming involved. So you can imagine how incredibly productive this is for IT. You don't have to waste time writing SQL scripts and APIs and things of that nature. It's just enabling that easy access and moving on to the higher value of what IT can deliver, which is the on the application and presentation side.
All right, Howard, I wonder if in your work with your clients and your research, perhaps in preparing for your new book, did you encounter any examples that you can recall where folks have taken this to heart, moved beyond the traditional content types that BI has supported? What sort of experience, paybacks, benefits have they perhaps enjoyed?
The answer is yes. There are a number of good examples, and obviously I encourage everybody to order a copy of the new book, which is out next month, but including other sources than just internal sources just gives you a better perspective. It really creates a much more interesting and rich tapestry of the business and the market in which they live. One of the organizations I dealt with was and is in the hospitality business. So really understanding their market, understanding what their competition is doing, what offers that they're providing, means that they have to go to those websites. They may do some as well as accessing some social networking sites to understand what's the customer sentiment out there. What sort of offers are their competition offering on a Sunday night, for instance, in order for them to remain competitive? And what are the changing trends? If you want to be a quote-unquote hip hotel chain, what does that mean? What's changing socially in those particular geographies and markets that you play in that you need to be aware of and respond to? Same thing is true in other industries. Another one of the organizations I work with is in the healthcare industry. So understanding your patient requirements, if you want to be a more patient-oriented organization, what are their changing needs? What are their desires? What are those things that they expect from their service provider? Well, you're not going to get that from your internal database. Providing access to external content in conjunction with the content from your internal systems gives you a greater perspective. And how many times have we heard, gee, if I had only known that, I could have made a better decision, or I could have framed the decision-making process more effectively. And that's really where we are in the history of BI right now. We need to provide better perspective, more complete and more timely perspective in order to frame the decision-making processes. And going back to my original point and really the central point of the book, how do we get everybody in the organization aligned with the mission to make sure that we're all fulfilling our particular role within the organization and using things like business intelligence and the right sorts of data to achieve that purpose?
Yeah, I agree, Howard, and I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. If we look at the spirit of what corporate performance management or enterprise performance management is supposed to deliver, those systems, BI systems, are really dealing with operational data and financial data within the firewall. But when you look outside the firewall and talking about all these public and data sources and even partners, how do you collaborate better with your partners? All of these things are web-enabled. So how do you bring things together from outside the firewall together and integrated with the operational and financial data, right? So I think that challenge will really be a huge payoff once IT organizations and CIOs can really leverage web data services for this huge payoff within that enterprise, whether it's BI for the next generation of BI for business-to-employee applications, business-to-business with your partners, or even business-to-consumer applications.
Ron, I wonder if you have any examples, folks that have gone out and gathered these web data services. What sort of uses have they put them to, and what paybacks have they encountered?
Yeah, well, we've talked a lot about public web data sources. Let's talk about partners and B2B. One of the Fortune 500 financial services company was required through regulatory compliance to report on their treasury transactions, 10,000 treasury transactions per day. And so they would go have several analysts fully dedicated to logging in to each of their top 100 banking partners and extracting information, loading it into an Excel spreadsheet, and then normalizing the data and cleansing the data. And you know, when you use manual efforts, you know, you'll never get precise around the data quality. But that was the best facility that they had. Then they would take that Excel spreadsheet and they would load that into a database and put a BI tool on top of that to provide their transactional dashboard. And they spent 3 years evaluating technologies and trying to build this solution on their own, and they failed. So they came to Kapow Technologies and they implemented a proof of concept. Within 3 weeks, they were able to get three of their top banking partners and develop a BI dashboard to monitor and manage these transactions. And the full deployment took 3 months, and now they're looking to expand that other aspects of their business.
I think we've learned a lot here about web data services. Ron, where do you see it going in the future? How does this move beyond the vision that we already have developed here?
You know, as Howard's been advocating about getting the right data, once you get the data access right, where the data is accurate, noise-free, and timely, then the future of BI will really be about automated decision-making. So I think we've got a taste and an appetite with some of the examples that I talked about with financial services and you know, working with the partners, but also investment decisions and things like that. So in the same way that we've seen that in financial decisions around making buy-sell decisions in an automated, predictive way, there's the same opportunity that exists across all industries.
Howard, do you agree the future of BI increasingly an automated affair?
Well, yeah, there are certainly places where we ought to be automating business intelligence, sort of decision automation, certainly. But at least in my way of thinking, business intelligence involves end users and empowering users and making them smarter. And I think there is a tremendous amount of room for improvement there. You know, like I said, I've been on this beat for 20 years now, and certainly I've seen improvements. Improvements in the tools across the board, right, from the bottom of the stack all the way to the top, and we've been seeing certainly increased penetration in the use. And I think that sort of the next hurdle, if you will, is applying the technology a little bit more effectively, and I think that's really where we've fallen far short, not understanding why we're implementing the technology. Let's give everybody business intelligence and a data warehouse and hope for the best, And in truth, not that there hasn't been any goodness associated with it, but certainly not one that is requisite with the investments that have been made. So I think that, going back to what I said earlier in the broadcast, the focus upon performance-directed cultures and using the technology as an enabler to support those cultures is really where I think organizations need to apply their thinking.
Well, very good. I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there. We've been discussing how web data services play a critical role in allowing companies to gather and refine their analytics, to engage in better market strategies, better buying decisions, and to enjoy and explore business development opportunities. Here helping us to delve into the future of BI and the role of web data services, we've been joined by Howard Dresner, president and founder of Dresner Advisory Services. Thanks so much, Howard.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And also we've been joined by Ron Yu, vice president of marketing at Kapow Technologies. Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Dana. I had a great time.
This is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, and you've been listening to a sponsored Briefings Direct podcast. This is just part of a series of four podcasts on the subjects around web data services and business intelligence. Look forward to future discussions on text analytics, cloud computing, and the role of business intelligence in the future. Thanks for listening, and come back next time.